to welcome to DNA Today Noel Lloyd from the Alliance for Aging Research. Thank you for joining me.
It's good to be here. Thanks for talking with me.
Definitely. I'm really excited to learn more about the Alliance for Aging Research. So why don't we start out by you kind of just letting our audience know who you guys are and what your main goal is as a nonprofit.
Sure. We were founded in 1986 in Washington, D.C., and with the goal of accelerating the pace of scientific discoveries and their application to vastly improve the universal human experience of aging and health. So basically, in a nutshell, we were an advocate for the cause of aging research. And aging research is a field of science which looks into the basically the biological causes of why we get older, with the end goal of slowing the aging process. One of the big things about aging research is that experts are finding that a lot of the diseases of older age, Alzheimer's, heart disease, cancer, are actually linked together by the aging of our bodies. That's sort of the common denominator in all of these diseases. So what we do is we try to bring more attention to aging research. And we do this in two different ways. One is to advance science, and the other is to enhance lives. So to advance the science of aging research, we work a lot on the policy front. Obviously, we're in Washington, D.C., and so we fight for legislation that advance medical breakthroughs, and work with policymakers to raise awareness about the aging research and institutions in the government, like the National Institutes of Health and its organization and National Institute on Aging. And so we try to get greater funding for the NIH. We also work with other organizations that are committed to the same causes that we are focused on aging research. So, and that's how we kind of look to advance science. To enhance lives, the other part of kind of what we do is focus on health education programs. We put out a lot of great materials, free materials, that are focused on educating both health professionals as well as the consumer, patients, on the chronic diseases of older age. And we're talking about cardiovascular diseases like atrial fibrillation, diseases like aortic stenosis. So these materials are intended to educate and to, help people understand what they're dealing with. So those are a couple of the ways that we raise awareness about aging research, and also, the diseases of older age that affect people. For us, the issue is so important because the population of the U.S. is getting older with each day. In 2011, the first of the boomer generation, the generation that was born after World War II, turned 65. And it's by 2030, 20% of that population is going to be older, 20% of the population will be 65 and older. The big issue is that they're also living longer, which is one of the great things about, our technology and our science is we're enabling people to live longer. The downside is that comes with those diseases of older age that I mentioned. So for us, it's a really important time in history to raise awareness about the potential of aging research and how we believe that aging research will enable people to live healthier, happier lives, give them a greater quality of life and increase their health span, which is the healthy years of life. So in a nutshell, that's what we do. And we've been doing it since 1986. It's an exciting time to be in this field. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we do that specifically as we go along in the interview.
Definitely. And to reiterate, you're really focusing on two kind of target markets, almost, that you're focused on lay people and educating them, but also the legislation level. So you're kind of having a dual purpose here. And it's cool that you're not just kind of focused on one, that you're taking both sides of these and really targeting both of them.
Yeah. And we started out in 1986 as as sort of as an offshoot of a government, kind of like a government awareness about the need to drive more legislation to research that focuses on the aging process. Our founder, Dan Perry, had been involved in that issue for a long time, even before the Alliance started. And once he started the organization, we grew from there. And along the way, we've, focused on a lot of issues over the years of interest to aging research, and also started to develop those health education programs that would, raise awareness about the issues, but also educate people about not just the issues of facing, our country with the aging of the population, but also, as I said, the health education materials. So, yeah, we've evolved over the years, and it will continue to be an evolving process as, we respond to the challenges and opportunities that are presented in Congress, as well as the growing awareness that we're finding with the actual research that's going into aging.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the educational campaigns you're talking to? What is the main method of raising awareness for these issues?
Sure. So when I talk about educational campaigns, the crux of what we do with that is to work with other professionals and experts in the medical field and scientific community to put together resources that we make available for people and healthcare professionals and community advocates to educate people about specific disease conditions. Mainly, we traditionally focused on diseases of that affect people 65 and over on a more regular basis. So, two campaigns that we actually have going right now. We launched them over the last couple of months, and they're both focused on cardiovascular diseases. The first we actually have put out this month, and it's focused on a disease condition called atrial fibrillation, or AFib for short, and it affects 5 million Americans and 75,000 Americans every year, with an increasing number of them being affected as they get older. So it's basically, in medical terms, it's an abnormal heart rhythm, and it's sometimes difficult to detect, but the downside is it can be deadly. It can lead to stroke. It can lead to, heart attack. And so, what we've done in this case is we've put together a suite of materials that are available for people to look over and educate themselves on the condition. This includes two short films. It includes a brochure. It includes a quiz that you can go to our website and take. So, and all these resources, we invite people to share them. And the films in particular are really, really cool. What they focus on is, one focuses on it's called Living with Atrial Fibrillation, and that's sort of the theme that we have. It's living with these diseases. But and then the other is focused on stroke, the danger of stroke. And in each case, it's an animated film, and it's really, targeted and made to break down, a medical condition that for many people could be, either overwhelming or something they've never even heard about. So, and in the case of each of these, the brochure and other materials, they're available on our website to download and share. And so, it's a really great way to educate people about that condition. The other condition we're focused on is called, this is a long one, so I'm gonna do my best to say it, venous thromboembolism, or short for VTE. And that's actually a term that describes deep vein thrombosis and pulmonary embolism. Basically, a VTE, it's a deep blood clot forms usually in your leg or somewhere else in your body. And if it break that clot breaks off and travels to your lungs, then you're basically it'll lodge in your lungs, and it can form a pulmonary embolism. And once again, it's a very dangerous condition that if not treated, can lead to some serious consequences. So once again, we have a similar set up. We have a page on our website where a brochure and a film and other materials are available for people to download or to, you know, access. We also have printed materials that we can send to people. So in all of these cases, we really try to, you know, educate people and give them those opportunities. Now, the way we get the word out is we try to connect with like-minded organizations, nonprofits, or you know, or medical professionals who maybe want to share those resources with other people. So we, you know, reach out to them via, you know, all the modern ways that we can, through social media, through the internet, through, you know, through email, through relationships we have with other organizations. Because one of the things we've done in our 30 years is build up relationships with, you know, other organizations who share our goals and our missions. And obviously heart health is an issue that's very important to older Americans and Americans in general. This being February, this being Heart Month, it's kind of appropriate, especially that we're focusing on atrial fibrillation, AFib. So in short, that's kind of the way we seek to educate people with those different programs and different brochures, different materials that we have available. So we've been doing this for a while, and we continue to look for more other opportunities to find those conditions that are of interest to older Americans and affect older Americans and enable them to be educated and seek the proper treatment that they need to, you know, to get healthy and properly deal with those conditions.
This is a huge service for the public and everything. And I'm sure that with these other organizations you're connecting with, that they kind of take it a step further maybe and talk to doctors and have doctors possibly point their patients to you guys to get the information that you guys provide. Is that something happens?
Yeah, I mean, we encourage we ourselves try to reach out to healthcare professionals and, you know, send them the resources and reach out to them. But we also, yeah, we encourage other organizations who might have a stake in this type of health condition to go to our website, which I know you'll share at the end, and
definitely
download these materials and share them with everyone. We're not in it to, you know, to profit from it. We're in it because we seriously want to help others to learn more about these conditions. And so, yeah, we the organizations we work with and the people we establish connections with, we encourage them to find healthcare professionals. And, you know, we the ones that who we know, we encourage them to let their patients know about it. So the more people who know about it, the more organizations who, you know, find these resources useful, we definitely want them to share with their patients.
And that's definitely the other side of networking, that you're looking at figuring out how many people you know and really sharing your message and all of the work you guys do, because it's obviously a huge gift to the public that they're able to access this information. And the other aspect that you're helping is in legislation, that you're looking to advance medical breakthroughs. Can you speak to specific legislations that you've been a part of or maybe active ones that are happening now?
Sure, yeah. And to answer your question on the grand scheme of things, yes, as I said before, we were kind of started as a policy-centric organization. But one of the big issues for us that's really kind of at the forefront is the idea of funding for the National Institutes of Health. The president released his budget a couple of weeks ago, and one of the items that we focus on basically on a yearly basis is how much of that budget goes toward supporting the work of the National Institute of Health, and in correlation, one of its centers, the National Institute on Aging, which is one of obviously the part of the NIH that we most work with closely because of its mission to focus on the study of aging. So for us, We actually had sent out a request to the president for, to focus on the NIH and they'll look at and make increased funding for NIH. And it, looking at the budget, it looks like funding went up for the NIH about $1 billion from 30 billion to about 31. And within for the NIA, it went to about 70 million. It increased about 70 million to 1.26 billion. So for us, we're excited about the increase in funding. We still think it's a long way off from where it needs to be, but it's a positive step. And the president put out a couple of interesting ideas, the Precision Medicine Initiative, which we think is a great idea. And I know you had talked about it on your show last week, and we think it's a great idea. We support that area and increase support for that initiative because that's a step in the right direction. Because what we're passionate about is advancing science. And so we want to, we want the latest science funded and the researchers who are going out and finding the new ways to cure disease and the slow aging. So from that perspective, that's a big issue for us that we'll be watching closely because now, as it'll go through Congress and we'll see what happens. So big issue that we're very vested in. Another issue that actually came out over the last couple of weeks is called the 21st Century Cures Initiative. That is an initiative of the U.S. House of Representatives Energy and Commerce Committee, which is interesting. It's related to a medical initiative is in that committee, so it shows you Congress is can be an interesting place where different initiatives come from and the names of committees, but I digress on that. And what they do is the 21st Century Cures Initiative seeks to it's was enacted to lead to legislation that's going to encourage better ways to find cures for diseases. They actually put out a draft document proposing some of their legislative ideas and we looked at it and I sent a couple of responses to them just with some suggestions on how we think the legislation could be approved. So that's a lot of what we do is like we look at the issues in Congress and the legislative front that are of importance to us, and we have spent many years building relationships on Capitol Hill and maintaining those relationships and really we approach it from a bipartisan perspective. For us, aging research isn't a Republican issue. It isn't a Democratic issue. It's an issue of national importance that should be important to everybody. I mean, it's the research itself and support of research has been a backbone of what we've done in this country, for a long time. And for us, we need to continue that. And for us, the National Institutes of Health represents the best way that we can fund scientific research and advance scientific research. So we'll continue to make that a priority. So those are a couple of issues, especially on the legislative front, that is happening right now in Congress that is of interest to us. So.
Definitely. And as you said, the Obama's new Precision Medicine Initiative is a huge thing. I spent the entire episode last time talking about it and breaking it down and seeing what the future could bring for it, especially for personalized medicine. That's a huge, as you kind of hinted at, advancement in research and having things more personalized, a little bit more targeted. So I think that really is a huge step.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, because I know the focus of the show especially is on, genetics and how DNA is, DNA works and all of that. And obviously we're all individual people and we each have our own genetic makeup. And I think that will be a great step forward in helping, healthcare professionals, diagnose and treat diseases and come up with plans that will increase quality of life. Because once again, we're all for finding ways to increase people's quality of life as they get older. And, if that contributes to that, then we're all for it.
Awesome. And I wanted to change things a little bit here and talk about your role at Alliance.
Sure.
That's the communication manager, and you help mm-hmm. communicate the message to legislators, health professionals, and the general public, kind of what we've been talking about, but kind of identifying what you specifically do. How did you become interested in this field, especially coming from an English and journalism background?
Yeah, I think if you talk to a lot of communications / journalism majors when they're first in college, you kind of think that you're going to go into the newspaper field and be a writer. And in my case, I wanted to be a sports writer. But when you get out of college into the job world, a lot of times you kind of take the first job that you can find that looks interesting. And in my case, I just went along a little different career path than I anticipated. And along the way, I actually had jobs that took me into the pharmaceutical industry, into retail pharmacy, into international nonprofit, orthopedic nonprofit, pediatrics, into working for a health system that focused that, you know, that was hospital based, that really gave me a lot of exposure to different, you know, disease states and different areas of medical care, and to here at the Alliance for Aging Research. And what really interested me about coming here and communicating its message was just the sheer, you know, diversity of what we do. We're a really small staff and a really small team, but we really touch a lot of issues and have an impact in a lot of different areas, both, you know, on Capitol Hill, as well as in different areas and different coalitions with whom we worked with. And for me as a communications manager, it's a great opportunity because, you know, the communications has evolved. It used to be back in the 90s before the internet, it used to be a totally different world. And now we live in the age of social media and, you know, rapid change and rapid flow of information. And so for me, I love the challenge of that. And I love the opportunity because there are so many ways that we can use now with technology to get the message out. And as the person who helps communicate that message, it's an enjoyable thing. And aging research is a cause I believe in. As I mentioned, aging is something that affects all of us. I mean, you're going to get old, I'm going to get old. And at some point, we're going to be affected by the aging process. Our bodies are going to slow down. We might develop a disease based on, you know, something that's in our family DNA. We might get it because we didn't take care of ourselves, you know, or sometimes we just get it because it's bad luck. But what I really am passionate about communicating from the aging research end is that this science is really exciting, and it's really leading to what I think will be a revolutionary way, a way that changes the way we live in the 21st century. And so for me to be able to be a part of an organization that I think is really on the cusp and really on the leading edge of some exciting science that's going to be happening over the next 10, 15 years, for me, it's almost like, why wouldn't I want to be communicating that message and have that opportunity to do that? So I'm really, really blessed and thankful as communications professionals who have been able to come here and help get the word out.
And it just goes to show you how much technology really does change even within one's career. You graduate, you think that your career is headed in one direction, and technology kind of changes things and opens more jobs up. I don't remember the stat, but it was something that so much percent of jobs that my generation is going to have, kids that are in college now, haven't even been created yet or even thought of yet. So it's really interesting to see how technology really does change, especially in this field of science, that positions that, you know, used to be existing that are not existing anymore because of technology.
Right. Science, I mean, technology obviously affects all realms of our life, and I think it's either you embrace it or you don't. And, you know, from my perspective in communications, you know, over the last 10, 15 years, we've gone from a very kind of almost like a paper-centric communications, you know, communications strategy to everything's digital. We have to have visuals. We have to have videos. We have to have, and that's, for us, technology actually has played a really great role in helping us distribute our education materials, because all of our, health education materials maybe 10 or 15 years ago, we would have had to put the video on a disc and send it to somebody, or we would have had to, print out a brochure and mail it out, which we still do. But now you can go right to our website, download our brochure, watch our video, share it, email it. It's all there. And for us, from a communications perspective, we sort of like are living in a kind of a golden age of that. I mean, obviously there are pitfalls. Social media can be, it's a nonstop barrage that you have to feed sometimes. But it's, with everything comes pluses and minuses. But I think largely, I think it's a huge plus to have that technology available to us now.
Certainly, and especially in terms of education, educating people is so much easier if you can just upload something online and kind of point people in that direction.
Sure.
And is there any way that people can help get or involved in the activities of the Alliance for Aging Research?
Sure. For us, I think the best way to really find out about what we do is to visit our website, agingresearch.org, and just check out everything that we have to offer. We didn't really touch a lot on, we have the campaigns and the coalitions that we have, but it'll really give you an overview of what we do and also give you an overview of what aging research is all about. I think a lot of people probably kind of view aging as like, we don't want to, you hear anti-aging, you think like wrinkle cream, stuff like that. That's not what we do. We're focused on the hard science, the nitty-gritty of, scientists who are looking at why our cells, why at the cellular level we're getting older. So it's really, especially I think for people of this podcast, because I know you might have a lot of people who are really in the science and really into the nitty-gritty of that. And while I myself am not a scientist, nor will I ever claim to be one, we definitely have that focus as an organization. And so I encourage people to check that out. Check it out, and you'll find all of our resources there and all the other information about what we do and who we are and how we can help educate people, about the issues and the health conditions that are important to older Americans and their families.
And again, that's agingresearch.org. I'll put that on the website along with links that we've mentioned throughout the show. And also, I want to plug your Twitter.
Okay.
People, as we've been talking about social media, you can go at agingresearch on Twitter and follow for all kinds of updates. You guys are very active on there. That's actually how I discovered you guys. So
great.
I'm sure more people can discover you on there.
Just one note, it's aging_research. There's an underscore between aging and research.
Great. And I will put that in the on the website and the show doc. And so aging_research, that's an important underscore there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I've had to keep that in mind a couple of times myself. So with the underscore.
You're just going with it. And
yeah, another pratfall of technology, all of this, all the underscores and hashtags and everything else that people do on Twitter. So.
But, certainly. It's a lot to keep up with, right?
Yeah. And yeah, we love Twitter, though. We encourage people to reach out to us and talk with us. And, we love dialogue, and we love people who are passionate about aging research. And those are the people we want to find, whether it's someone interested in science, someone who's a scientist, or someone who's just interested in the reasons why we get older and why that might be important to them. So yeah, we'd love to hear from people.
Great. Well, thank you so much for being on the program. I really appreciate just hearing everything you have to say and what you're about, what you're providing. And people can definitely get in touch with you, and you can go to their website, agingresearch.org. You can also go to dnapodcast.com. I'll have information from them on there. As long as my own information, you can also go to @DNApodcast on Twitter. Always the Twitter and the website to plug, right?
Yeah, we appreciate that. And we appreciate this opportunity. It's great to talk with you and to especially someone who's so passionate about science and research. And we are glad you're putting out this podcast, because it's this type of stuff needs to be heard, and what you talk about needs to be heard. So we appreciate it.